I put into all of your bulletins, they're all loaded. And I was curious to watch how many of you made it in without dropping those things out of there. But you should have four salvation tracts inside your bulletin. I want you to take those out and put them in your fingers and then make notes on the bulletin as we go along. But today is February 14th of the year of our Lord, 2010, and we're going to talk about the salvation message. So on Valentine's Day, what is the greatest love story you've ever heard? Anthony and Cleopatra? Romeo and Juliet? When I was younger, there... Oh, Don and Denise Hubbard, you know. What's the greatest love story you ever heard? I would present to you that in Exodus 34, 6 and 7 is the initiator of the greatest love story you've ever heard. This is God introducing himself, reintroducing himself to Moses. After Moses had spent 40 days on the mountain with him, God had handwritten the Ten Commandments on slabs of stone, only to tell Moses, go down, those people down there are worshiping idols already. And Moses goes down and sends his Levite brothers out through the camp, and they kill thousands of people caught in immorality in a day. And Moses goes back up onto the mountain. And this is how God greets him when he comes back. And God passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This is how God introduces himself. Can you see a loving guy in there? Can you see a patient, gracious, slow to get anger? I mean, when you get to the bottom line, wickedness, rebellion, and sin, those could be the epitaph on a tombstone, couldn't they, for many of us? God's loving heart forgives. Debbie, that lives at my house, was excited about 2 Timothy 1:9 in the New Living Translation, and she and I sat in front of the fire and talked about it several times. This is what it said. God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show his grace through Jesus Christ. Before anything existed, God had a plan to redeem us because of his great love. So when you look at the Bible message here, our God is a loving and forgiving God. God has a plan to show us his grace for our lives. So as you look at that, take one of your four tracts and hold it up. One of the four points I want you to remember is that God loves you. And that he has a plan for your life. Okay? That's one of the four things I want you to remember. Now then, you can put your hands down now. We as United Brethren have a confession of faith that was adopted in 1815. It's never been changed. It states the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith, the core beliefs which United Brethren members have clung to since the denomination began. One of the subpoints is the salvation message. We also believe that what is contained in the Holy Scriptures, to wit, the fall of Adam and the redemption through Jesus Christ, shall be preached throughout the world. So as we talk about the salvation message, we believe what is contained in the Scriptures. And first of all, we'll look at the fall of Adam. What does that mean to you? What does it mean when we say the fall of Adam? In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let's make man in our image, in a likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over the earth and over all the creatures that move around on the ground. Then God said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. Is that still the reality of mankind? Whose image are we now born into? Are we still born into that original image? Or has something happened between when God made Adam and you and I were born? Something happened. And that change is the truth that we want to look at here. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So what was the state of man at that time? Adam was made, God formed him, and then he gave him life. Spiritually, he was alive. Solistically, his soul had life, and he had physical life. Now, what was his relationship like with the Creator? Adam got to walk around naked, unashamed, and visit face to face with God. He had a direct, personal, interactive relationship that went on. It was perfect. Jesus and Adam walked around and looked at all the stuff, and Jesus let Adam name it all. And it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. In Genesis 2:9, the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God made the Garden of Eden. What was different about the two trees in the middle of the garden? There were two trees that were different in the middle of this garden. Does one give life and the other give knowledge? They do. One of them, if you ate the fruit of that tree, you would live forever. And that tree still exists. When you look at Revelation 22, it's big now. And its fruit, it produces in all the seasons. And even the water that flows through its roots creates life. So it still exists. It's still protected by angels. And someday we'll get to see it. In Genesis 2:15 and 17, it said, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. I put in parentheses a note that you and I should notice. From the very beginning, there were things God wanted man to be doing. We live in a culture that talks about retirement, rest, relaxation, not having anything to do, finally being done, and never having to work again. That's not God's idea. That's a perverted, distorted, sinful culture that we live in. From the very beginning, there were things God wanted man to do and take care of. And when I get to the end of this message, I want to show you some of those things that we are supposed to be about. But it's not my idea. It's his idea. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So God loves us and he gives us freedom. Was the man free to eat from any tree? Absolutely. You and I, like Adam, can darn well do whatever we please. We're free to do whatever we want. Were there consequences to man's choices? Absolutely. You can do whatever you want, but there are consequences for the choices you make. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. I used that on the wedding on the beach, by the way. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man and brought him to the man. When you saw the picture of Heather being led down the beach on the arm of her dad, Rick, that was the illustration of God bringing Eve to Adam. Now, Heather had on a lot more clothes than what Eve did when God brought her to Adam. But the fact of the matter is, God designed marriage. And he brought the woman to the man. Now, God's love is given to others. Why is it not good for a man to live alone? You ever think about that? In Genesis, God makes this, it's good. God makes that, it's good. God makes this, it's good. And all of a sudden he looks and he says, That's not good for a guy to live alone. Could it be that left to oneself, all our love is self-love? Could that be the reason you leave a guy alone long enough and he'll just be in love with himself only? Right? That's the way it works. Which is, in your experience, is the best? Love that you keep or love that you give away? There's several heads nodding that it's the giving away. It's when you really give genuine love to people, that's the good stuff. Now, it's a Bible given that you're going to love yourself and take care of yourself. You're going to do that, right? But it's the love that you give away that is really the best. And that's what God's talking about. In Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat of any tree of the garden? So here's where the villain enters the story. Who was this creature who had the conversation with the woman? This is Satan. This is the devil. This is our enemy. You must not eat from any tree of the garden what God had said to man? No. In Genesis 3, 2 and 3, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from any of the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree which is in the middle of the garden, and you must not even touch it or you'll die. It's kind of exaggerated a little bit there, but in Genesis 3, 4 and 5, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So there was a rejection of God's love. Did mankind desire for knowledge of good and evil reject God's loving provision? Yeah. And you'll find that to be true in our culture as well. Men and women will long to figure out how to do it more than calling on the great provider to do it for you, with you, through you. What was the result of their action? Death enters into the experience of mankind. So in the salvation message, we believe that God loves us and forgives us. We believe God has a plan for us. Remember holding up that was point one. And we believe that we're born dead, separated from God in sin and Adam. So this happens to be the four spiritual laws track. Take one of your tracks and hold it up. The second thing that you need to know about salvation is that you're born dead in sin, separated from God. Now, as you look around the audience, almost all of you have a different track. Almost all of you have a different one. Some of you may have a Valentine track right now. Some of you may have a trick-or-treat track. Some of you may have a Christmas track. Some may have a Thanksgiving track. Some may have... But I want you to remember, God loves you and He has a plan for you. And secondly, that you're born in sin, separated because of Adam's sin. So as united brethren, we also believe that redemption through Jesus Christ should be preached throughout the world. And that's going to be the third point, but it'll take me a while to get there. What do you read about today in your Bible reading? When you read Matthew 27 today, what are you going to read about? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have one of the Bible reading plans yet, grab one in the back next to the bulletin. If you want more salvation tracts, there's a bunch of loaded bulletins out there. Each one of them have four rounds in them. Be sure to gather more of them. There's a Bible reading tract up here in the front if you want. But start and restart and try to continue this year reading the Bible with me. So redemption is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to the salvation question. Is He? Is Jesus the answer to the salvation question? Now, are we as a denomination, the United Brethren in Christ, asking the questions that lead people to that answer? Are we as a denomination doing a good job at evangelizing our generation? How about us at Kalita? How are we doing at leading people to Christ? I have to fill out a pastor's section of our annual report, and I have to put a zero in the column that says salvations at your church in the year of 2009. And there's nothing harder for me on that whole report than to write that zero and to cross that line through it. I don't want to do that next year. When I fill out the 2010 report, I do not want to put a zero in that column. And I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to help me not put a zero on that. When we get to the end of 2010, I would like to have a digit other than zero in that blank. Help me. In 2 Timothy, we read verse 9 at the beginning of the message, and now it says in verse 10, "And now he has made all this plain to us by appearing Jesus Christ our Savior. He broke the power and death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news." And 2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 11, "And God chose me to be a preacher and a teacher of the good news." So as you look at me sitting here doing this, can you see that to be true? I'm not saying I do a good job at it. My son and I were cutting wood the other day and we were talking about retirement. And I said, 20 years ago, your mother and I decided to stop trying to make money and to start trying to make disciples. And I've done a really good job at not making money. But making disciples, that's a whole nother story. Doing the best I can, but it never seems to be good enough. Now, can you see yourself in that service role for the Lord? Can you see you as a preacher of the good news and a teacher of the good news? Can you? You should be able to. Even though your experience may be like mine, you don't think you do it very well. Your Heavenly Father may just say to you like He does to me, "Well, son, you're just going to have to do it poorly then." But I want you to begin to see yourself in that role. A teacher of this good news. If Jesus or I ask you to help someone understand being lost in Adam and saved in Christ, where in the Bible would you turn? A good roadmap for lost people is found in the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, how many of you can hold up one hand and show me all your digits? You have a thumb and four fingers. It's not a Subway commercial, right? Clarence has got 10. Well, Clarence has got 9.5. We'll get to Romans 10 in a minute. But Romans 5, can you remember that? Your hand's 5. 5 digits, $5 foot long. Right? You got it? 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, in the New Living Translation, "God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." So in the Romans roadmap, could you help somebody find chapter 5 in Romans and read that? Could you do that? Can you see for yourself and for others that God loves you for who you are and who you can become, not what you've done? God loves you because you're you. It's not a performance-based acceptance. He loves you because you're you. He saved you or wants to save you because you're you, not because of how good you will do. In Romans 5, continuing at verse 12, "Then when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Now, Adam was a symbol, a representation of Christ who was to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of the one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift and forgiveness to many through the other man, Jesus Christ." Verse 16. "And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of the one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to being made right with God, even though we were guilty of many sins." For the sin of the one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin begins condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life to everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many became righteous. For so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead of giving right standing, is giving right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in the Romans roadmap, does Paul do a good job of explaining our relationship with Adam and our hope in Jesus Christ? When you read it out of the New Living Translation, it sounds just like what you and I would say, doesn't it? Jesus is God's only provisions for man's sin. So take your third track and hold it up. That's the third point. Jesus is the only provision for man's sin. So on the Romans roadmap, through Jesus, you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life. Could you help somebody read Romans 5 and read that? Could you do that? I have in this is my well-used Bible. This has been on several continents. And I have pictures of me discipling people all over the world out of this Bible. But when you open it to the book of Romans, there is handwritten notes right there. Wilmer, go to verse 3 or chapter 3, verse 8. Wilmer, go to chapter 5. And when you go to 3... and you read, all men have sinned, then there's a little note in the sideline. Go to here. And it's never bothered anybody when I spun my Bible around and asked them to read that underlined verse. And they say, well, why does it say go to that? Well, because that's the next thing I want you to understand. Go ahead and write it right in your margin of your Bible how to do this. It's not a bad thing. You don't have to have it memorized. Equip yourself for the task that God has given you in this garden we live in, so that you could help somebody find this. In Romans chapter 10, now Clarence, you can hold up your 10 fingers and the rest of you. Clarence has got 9.5, right? So you have 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, 10 digits. Could you remember to go to Romans 10? You take them to Romans 5, you take them to Romans 10. In Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 10:10, for it is by believing in your heart that you were made right with God and confessing with your mouth that you are saved. So as we're leading people down this Romans roadmap, could you help someone read those verses in Romans 10? Could you do that? Could you help someone see that there are two steps to salvation? You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. It's that simple. In Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, could you help somebody read that in chapter 10? Could you help someone see that they are in the everyone? Because everyone's in everyone. Isn't it? Doesn't matter who you are, you're a part of everyone. Is there assurance in this verse that if you call on His name, you will be saved? There is assurance that you could give them. So, in the salvation message, God loves you and forgives you. God has a plan for you. That was point one, remember? You are born dead in sin, separated from God because of Adam. That was point two. If we believe in our hearts Jesus is the one provided it, that will restore us to the right relationship with God. Believing and confessing with our mouth will save. Now, will you receive Him today? See, that's the third step, is you have to... You got one more track to do that one? Right? That's it. Believing and receiving, that's the next step. If you haven't done that, oh, I encourage you with all that I have, do that today. Talk to me. Talk to any of these people who are up front singing in worship. Any of us can help you understand that today. So in Romans 10:14, but how can they call upon Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless somebody tells Him? Those are three questions that are better than any I put in my text. On the Romans Road map, is Paul saying that you and I can be the someone explaining and helping someone else find the love and faith and understanding in Jesus Christ? Christ and our country need you. There has never been a more critical time in the history of our nation for the outpouring of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have never been in a worse mess than we are right now. Some people say, oh, World War II was worse. No, not really. The country was unified and the good guys were fighting the bad guys. And God was prayed to, and consciously people confessed that publicly. Our nation is really in a mess. We need Jesus. And we need you and me to be the ones who take this good news to others. So in Romans 10:15, the first part of the verse, the A part, and how will anyone go tell them without being sent? So the conclusion of my message is, we believe that redemption through Jesus Christ shall be preached throughout the world. Will you believe you are the one Jesus and our denomination is sending? You're the guy. You're the girl. You're the one Jesus and our denomination is sending to change the world for Jesus' sake. In Romans 10:15, the second half, that is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. God's great love story needs to be told. Will you lead somebody down the Romans road to find the love and salvation Jesus offers? Will you do that this year? Will you set about, grab some more of those tracts out of the bulletins that nobody used and put them in your pocket. Take them with you. Put your Bible, places where you can find it when you're out and visiting with people. And this year, be involved in that process. We started out with 2 Timothy 1:9. God saved us, called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was His plan from the beginning of time to show His grace through Jesus Christ.